The family stash of survival foods includes at our house tiny cans of canned fish that could be stored away for a long, long time, maybe 10 years. If the wild food they contain did not taste so good, that leads us to ask, how does 3 ounces of fish satisfy a lunchtime hunger?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Welcome to the 1342nd edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Sasebo who are tuned into the Food Chain podcast at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, so the family stash of survival foods, like I said, contains some food. So having been raised in Montana at a time when wildlife was plentiful and money was scarce, I had the privilege of fishing, hunting, and eating a lot of wild meat. How that wild meat would taste depended on what Mother Nature provided for the critter to eat. Venison from farm pastures would taste much different than venison from sagebrush-covered badlands. That pretty much meant that meat from each critter would have a distinct character. And so we learned where to hunt to get the good meat. I now live in metropolitan California, where wildlife is protected and the food chain is civilized. No wild swings in taste around here. That said, I never did lose a taste for the wild, and so have always remained on the hunt for it. Imagine my surprise way back when I found a sustainable source of wild food being offered for sale at my farmer's market. What caught my attention at the booth were the tiny tins of wild salmon and tuna that I believed would make a great contribution to the family stash of survival food. The tiny tins contained pure protein and other essential nutrients that could be safely stored away for years. But then I discovered how good the wild fish tasted and how well they satisfied my midday hunger. And so the tins started disappearing from the family stash of survival food. And that leads me to ask today, how does 3 ounces of food satisfy a lunchtime hunger? Well, here to help us fish for an answer, we have Krista Jones, who is the proprietor of Dave's Gourmet Seafood. Krista, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hi, Michael. Happy to be here.
Oh, happy to have you aboard. I ought to tell folks that Krista gave my daughter Kelsey one of her first jobs, cleaning crab. And she grumbled a lot about that, but when I talked with her today about having you on the radio show, she said, well, tell Krista thank you for the opportunity of learning how to clean crab. So there's your thanks, Krista.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and she got, well, the best part of that, about all that, was she got to work for Dave himself.
Yep, so, that's right. Hmm. The Dave Greenberg. And, you know, as a matter of fact, Krista, I hosted Dave Greenberg many, many years ago of Dave's Gourmet Seafood. And we had a great show together. And that was when he was fishing the Monterey Bay here. Now he moved his boat and his world way up north, correct?
Yeah, he's basically has retired, went back to his roots, which is the Pacific Northwest and Washington State. And he resides in Olympia, Washington, where he has his beautiful Jeanette moored. And he's living his, you know, last chapter up there. So it's good. Wonderful for him. He's where he wants to be.
So the beautiful Jeanette would be a boat.
Yes, that was the boat that we fished on. She was the troller, the wooden troller.
That's right.
I built in 1956 in Tacoma Shipyard, Washington.
There it is. So Dave's no longer here. That means Krista's here. And Krista is now the proprietor of Dave's Gourmet Seafood, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Very excited to continue the legacy from what Dave started. years ago.
Mm-hmm. And for many years, you were the sales manager, which gives you a pretty good insight onto how the business worked, correct?
Correct, good. Yes.
Well, let me start off, Krista, by asking you, what's so special about the tuna inside your can that so pleases my appetite? I can eat 3 ounces of Dave's gourmet seafood, and I can satisfy my hunger. Now, I spend a lot of time running about, and when lunchtime comes around, I get hungry. And so when you're running around and you're hungry, what choice do you have in life? Well, there's the fast food drive-through, or there's the convenience store. And neither of them, in my way of thinking, have much of anything to eat. But I can take a little tin of Dave's gourmet seafood, open it up, and it just, 3 ounces. How do you do that? How do you satisfy my appetite with 3 ounces of seafood?
Wow, yeah, it's pretty incredible. Those little tiny cans, there's a lot of power in one can. There's a meal in a can, and you're absolutely correct. It's something it answers all the problems for everyone that's hungry or on the go, that has no time to cook, that wants a pre-gym or post-gym workout snack. It feeds your muscles. It's healthy for your heart. It's good for your blood. It's good for your brain. And I tell you what, there's nothing better that you can eat for your body. And put it on a salad and you're good to go.
Good to go. So I found you're always at the farmer's market, which to me is a good sign. Because that's where you get food with its farmer's face on it. So now you are the face on Dave's gourmet seafood. That's your business. So you're the one who we can look at and say, what's in this can of fish that's so special? And so there's a lot of things when we start to look at it. So let's pick up some of the things that make Dave's gourmet seafood gourmet. And the first thing, let's start with, is that it's caught in America and canned in America. What difference does that make to a can of tuna that would make it gourmet?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a huge difference in Dave's products compared to the commercial, quote unquote, commercial packed tunas that you find for $1.99 or, you know, it's more now, but, you know, the cheaper, the less expensive brands that have been on the shelves for years and years that everyone knows for tuna fish sandwich. But the thing is, like, for Dave's, this is truly, it's what your folks probably did in Montana in the winter. They grew a garden in the summer, and then they canned the vegetables or the fruit in jars, and then they put it in the cellar and store it for the winter. And it was no different up in Washington in the Northwest. When Dave was a kid, his grandmother would can all his salmon that he caught in Puget Sound, and she would add flavors to it, and he store it in the basement. And it was his job to go rotate those jars around when she canned. And he grew up on that, and there is nothing better when you open one of those jars of that fish or vegetables or fruit. It tastes like it was just caught or harvested. It's incredible. So taking that tradition and bringing that into, you know, the marketplace for the public, we don't do it in jars today. We do it in the cans. We can it in those metal cans, and those cans are actually produced in USA. They're not China made or outside of our country. Everything that we use, everything that we make, and all the fish that we catch is caught by Americans, canned by Americans, done in America. So that's a huge thing.
And what I like about the cans is that they have a little pull tab, almost like a beer, where you can just pop them open and there's your lunch. Easy peasy.
I know, and that was something that was so super important to start utilizing on the cans. When we began the business, those lids were out there, but no one was using them. And Dave was so adamant about finding that source and getting those lids, because it makes it really convenient and people are busy and on the go. And when you have no time to, you know, even fast food, this is the fastest food.
It is fast. It doesn't take long. And what I find that there is a trick in eating it, And that trick is you have to eat it slowly, savor it. It's not much of it, 3 ounces. And if you eat it slowly and savor it, and then relax for a minute or two after you're finished eating it, instead of running and getting more food, you develop a feeling of satiation. A little 3 ounces does the trick, which is really amazing to me. So a great lifesaver for people on the run. So let's go back to this notion of caught in America and canned in America. It seems like the industrial world of tuna fisheries used to be in America. I remember it was once in San Diego, but it's gone now. It's out in the middle of the Pacific somewhere where the labor's really cheap. And how do they go about catching and canning tuna that makes yours different?
Yeah, so there is still a handful of commercial albacore boats in San Diego, fortunately. In fact, I work with a few of those captains down there and buy their fish at the end of the season and can it. They're so proud of what they do, and I love supporting them and offering their product for the canned albacore. But what happens is the albacore that we use for Dave's gourmet seafood those are the migrating runs of younger juvenile albacore that come across from the South Pacific into the North Pacific. And that usually happens starting in May. They have different areas of when they're traveling where they stop and feed. And one of those areas is the Dateline, the islands out near the Dateline off of Hawaii. Midway Islands, I believe it's called. And so they go there and they hang out there for a while, and then they start to filter into the Pacific, and they'll hit different seamounts out there. So those are the spots that the fishermen will head to. So boats out of California ports or Oregon and Washington ports and even Canada will head towards, they'll just go due west, basically. And they usually will have a report and help each other for what they're catching. If they get any signs of albacore along the way, but there's usually a pattern every year where they're going to show up. And when the boats go out there, and if the fishing is really good, really good, and there's so much fish to be caught, what happens is, the big companies like Starkist or Bumblebee, Pan Pacific, they'll send out a tender ship to buy fish and unload off of the commercial American fishermen boats. And they'll buy their fish out there in the middle of the Pacific so that they can keep fishing. Because it's about a week and a half to 2 week trip to get offshore. So they can stay out and keep fishing. Yeah, exactly. It is far. And so once you're out there, you want to stay out there if the fishing's good, and that allows them to. And then they can refuel, and sometimes they have groceries, and they can keep going. But if they don't, they'll fill up like we did. We would fill up the boat, and then we would head back to port. We would head, you know, start that 2 week trip back to wherever we were going to unload and turn the boat over again, get ready and go back offshore. So the fishermen unfortunately it's less and less every year because it is getting so costly to run a boat and to operate a full-time commercial business for fishing, and with all the regulations, it's difficult. And now there's closures for salmon, but with the albacore, it's an offshore thing. It's an offshore fishery. International waters. So it's really not regulated per se. You have to have a high seas permit, but there's really no way they can regulate this fishery. It's pretty impossible because it's so widespread, and they don't really track those fish. They can't. They've tried. They get counts, but they don't have the ability to really track that whole system.
Not like putting an ear tag in a buffalo.
Right, exactly. And maybe they do for different types of the tunas, but for the Pacific albacore, this species, this type of albacore, they don't. There's bluefin, there's ahi, there's skipjack, there's so many different types of tuna. But this one, the Pacific albacore, they're a special class of their own.
We're going to take a quick break, Krista, but when we come back, I would like to ask you, what kind of tuna would Dave Greenberg prefer for his tuna sandwich? Okay?
Sounds great.
All right. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, please do stay tuned. We will be right back after.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Welcome back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What with Krista Jones. She is the proprietor. She's the pure protein of Dave's Gourmet Seafood. And that means she is the one who's in charge. And you've been doing this for a long time. So if anybody knows how to pull it all together, I think it would be Krista. And that's what she's doing. So the idea is finding real food to eat for lunch, something that can really do the job of satisfying you without filling you up with empty, desolate calories, food with nothing in it. And Dave's gourmet seafood I found at the farmer's market started stashing, loading up for my survival stash, because if you think about it, it's a really good food to have around. Pure protein. What do we mean by pure protein, Krista?
Excuse me. Pure protein is, well, that was the biggest thing about this product is Dave was always into fitness, because when he fished, he wanted to keep strong, because he would fish offshore by himself for many years and pull every tuna in by himself. And the way he kept himself strong was by eating healthy food, and the protein was the number one most important thing for him, and eating albacore was the best protein for that. It assimilates in your body way faster and much easier than eating a steak or hamburger or chicken or any other type of protein like that. This is actually better. In my opinion, it's the best protein you can eat over any protein shake or any other. It has 31 grams of protein per serving. That's a 3.25 ounce serving. And it has omega-3 oil included with all of that protein. So the minerals, the vitamins, the protein, the omega, I mean, you can't go wrong. So, yeah, it's good for you.
And I guess, you know, when it gets right down to it, that would explain why I'm satisfied with eating 3.25 grams or ounces of tuna or salmon. It seemed to be just right. Although I could obviously eat another 3 or 4 cans at one sitting, given that, given the inclination, me being me. Mm. Mm-hmm. So, Krista, some years ago, I had a guy call me up from the deep south. Michael, I grow the world's best watermelons, Michael. Everybody says so. But, Michael, I'm not making any money. What's wrong? I thought, well, where do you sell it? And, well, Michael, this truck comes by every other week, and I put all my watermelons up on the truck with everybody else's watermelons. So I suggested that, why are you growing the world's best watermelons when you're selling them in the same place that all the other people are selling their not-so-good watermelons? Because one of the secrets of being a metropolitan farmer like he was and like you are is you can't grow or you can't produce what the giants grow, which is commodities. And so how do you go about putting that claim of gourmet on your can? Tell us what makes it gourmet. We've learned about it being produced in the United States by Americans and in American tin cans. And we learned about the wonderful nutrient profile that it has. But that could be said of any tuna. So how does Krista go about setting her tuna and her salmon as being gourmet, as being something very special?
Yeah, it's like going to the farmer's market and buying that organic produce direct from those farmers that grow it themselves, and it's incredibly flavorful and nutritious and far better than the store-bought, and lasts far longer in your fridge or for storage than any other. The cans that we do, the fish, the catch that we offer for our product is all hand caught. It's all line caught, one hook per line, and there's no nets, there's no long lines. It's just one hook, one fish. That fish hits that hook, it's pulled into the boat, and it's bled, it's frozen at sea. So it's immediately processed for the best sashimi grade fish that you can eat. Once the boat's full, it's unloaded, and it's taken straight to the cannery where it's hand filleted. There's cutters that are at the tables with each fish one at a time, cutting out the bloodline, trimming off the skin, getting those fresh loins ready for the packers where it goes into the cannery. And then each loin is sliced and weighed and packed by hand into each can. So the care and the work that goes into the product is beyond what any of these commercial manufacturers are doing with the tuna. And what they're doing different is they're baking their fish first before it goes into the can, where we put the fish into the can fresh.
Krista, even before that, they bleed out the fish, each fish that they catch?
That's a good question, because when the fishermen are catching for the big producers, they want to get the maximum amount for the poundage of their fish. So no, they're not going to bleed their fish, because they want to get the most that they can, you know, price per pound. And they're not going to bleed the fish for the product, because they're getting paid by the pound. So no.
So they leave the blood in the fish?
Yeah.
Increases the weight. Wow.
Yep. Yep. And then when you catch an animal or fish, the adrenaline that goes through that animal, it will affect the taste of the meat. It will affect the flavor, and the care that we give our fish, because every fisherman that I work with today, they care about their fish so much, and they're so proud of what they do. I know that the handling on the fish is how Dave handled his fish, with a lot of care. And so they're not stressed out. They get bled right away. They go into a big bath. They don't even know what happened to them. So they go right into the bath, and then they're bled out, and they go into the freezer.
You know, you sound like Dr. Temple Grandin, who I don't know if you know who she was, but she was a doctor who taught animal feedlots and processing facilities how to make it possible to take animals through that process without having them freak out.
Oh, I do know she was autistic.
Yes, she's very much autistic.
And yeah, so I did see that movie.
She had the very interesting capability of being able to see how the animals saw. But what you said about the care of an animal that you have just taken down is very reminiscent of learning how to be a good hunter. You always wanted to take the animal down without scaring it, because if you scared it, it would taste different.
So, right.
So another thing you do is put your processed tuna in cans. Now, I noticed that some purveyors of tuna are putting them in plastic pouches.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm not they do a metal pouch. It's a flexible pouch, and now they're able to do it in what is a plastic, some type of a plastic. I'm not keen on that yet. It's a newer product for packaging, and they're doing in Europe. They use it a lot. It's a hermetically sealed. In fact, the canned seafood business is way beyond what we're doing here in the States. They do different types of packages with like vegetables and fish combined, and they put them into the plastic tray containers and they are sealed just like a can. So they're a little bit ahead of what we're doing here. I'm sure we're going to go in that direction eventually, but I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm. And do, like you said earlier, I like the tin cans. They're very handy. You don't even need a plate. It's all there.
I know. I know. You can use a lid as a fork. Just be
all
careful
you need
you
is a little fork
lip.
And you're in business. Yeah. So that's
yeah,
kind of fun.
Easy.
So,
I know. I like that.
So now you made mention of the fact that you use cans, of course, that have no BPAs in them. What's BPAs for those who don't know?
Right. When there's a certain liners they put in these cans that will, when heated, can transfer toxins into the food at a certain temperature. So, and also the fish, if it's a shellfish per se, like shrimp, it can react with the liner in the can. The iodine can react and break it down. So yeah, it's basically the barrier between the fish and the metal can, and it protects it from breaking down in the metal itself. But BPA, I don't know what that stands for, but I know that it's a toxin, and Silgan Container Company Corporation. They're huge. They're in the Midwest, in Ohio, and Pennsylvania, and they manufacture all of our can ends and lids. So, they have. They're a wonderful company. They're huge. They do billions of cans, I would say, but. Yeah, very trusted and reputable. So, but that's what we use for our canning.
Well, with respect to your product line, you have tuna, which is probably your big one, if I'm guessing right. But you also have salmon. And
yes.
Now there's lots of different kinds of salmon. So tell us a little bit about salmon. First and foremost, I'd like you to talk about the difference between wild salmon and farmed salmon, because whenever we go out to eat now, it's pretty much farmed salmon at the restaurants.
Right.
But not at Dave's Gourmet Seafood.
Right. Yeah. And fortunately, with all of the closures and the fewer fishermen, the industry has changed so much that it's pretty rare that you're going to find wild caught salmon in a restaurant today. That's where, these farms, these salmon farms have become so huge. They have farms all over the world, New Zealand, Norway, Finland, they have up in Alaska, up in the Puget Sound area. It's become a real popular thing. And some of these farms do a better job than others. Some of them are, high volume. They use a lot of antibiotics. They use the dyes. All of that toxic kind of additive that they put into their fish. And then there's the producers that use that are organic, that actually will have their farms in an area that is as close to the habitat of a wild salmon, and they don't use any of the toxic feed or dyes. It's all just natural. So those are the farms that I believe in. That's how they should be farming if they're going to be farming. But it's there's controversy about all of that.
So you mentioned two additives, antibiotics and food dye. Let's pick them up. Why would you want to feed salmon antibiotics?
Because they're growing them in, and also I forgot to mention that the steroid, the growth hormones, they're in the business of raising salmon. They want to produce as many as they can, as fast as they can. And when they're in these tight, you know, growth areas, they have a tendency to become diseased easily. So they have to give them the antibiotics. And then when the fish is taken to the restaurant, of course, they want the fish meat to look red. They want it to look appetizing, and people eat with their eyes. So if you have a beautiful red salmon fillet, of course, you're going to want to eat that over a pale, ugly, pale pink one. The dye that they put in some of the salmon that is grown is actually derived from some type of a plastic. That's what I was, I've learned. And so it's that is something I would avoid, but that's what they do.
Well, the reason I think they do that is because one of the reasons we love salmon is because the salmon eat krill and their flesh gets brilliant red and beautiful. And when salmon are raised in cages, they don't eat krill. They eat livestock food, essentially. And the meat doesn't turn pink. And so, therefore, all you have to do is put some food coloring in the feed, and then the salmon flesh will look like as if it were wild, when actually it's not.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. So there's that. And, you know, we do have a salmon season in Washington now and continued in Alaska. So we're able to get the wild king and then also sockeye salmon. We get our sockeye strictly from Alaska because that's where the sockeye is caught. And that's always a beautiful red, dark red color. But the king is the preferred. The king is the very...
The king is the king.
The primo. Yeah, the king is the king.
The king is the
best, tastiest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'd like to continue this conversation with Krista Jones, the pure protein of Dave's Gourmet Seafood. She's the one that catches the fish, puts them in the can, serves them up to us so that we can have some real food to eat for our lunch and don't have to pull into the convenience store where there isn't any real food. So stay tuned.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going to Santa Cruz Electronics, where they get all the electronic information and equipment they need to fix electronic gear themselves and save money. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are fixing themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Solar energy kits for school science project.
Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server for doctor's office.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can probably fix it yourself and save a lot of money with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted Best Electronics Store 2 years running, call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444. That's 479-5444. Or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. Fix it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
If you love cats, if you love dogs, or horses, pigs, birds, or frogs, there's a lot of ways to help if you're sincere. With a little bit of money, or you can volunteer. You'll save a life when you adopt. You're just getting started. Please don't stop. Right here on the Monterey Bay, you can save some critters with the SPCAs. Open up your home, donate a car, or pull some bucks from your small change jar. Give a little love, share a little time, save a little life, gain peace of mind. All the SPCAs of Monterey Bay.
Windows are a way to see and a way to be seen. Hello, I'm Guy Mitchell from Lighthouse Windows in Santa Cruz. Lighthouse Windows installs doors and windows in homes and in new construction. We make a big difference in how you see and how you are seen. Listen.
My name is Alice Nikolaisen, and we're residents of Santa Cruz County. Took him one day to put the windows in. You'd never even know they were here. I love the looks of it. I like the grids in the front, and we decided just to have the plain windows in the rest of the house, but it really dressed up the front of the house. When the windows and the doors are shut, you don't get the outside noise. All the neighbors, when they'd walk by, they commented on the windows and in turn asked us who did it. We told them, and they have had some done themselves.
New windows and doors from Lighthouse Windows will keep your home warmer in the winter, cooler in the summer, and quieter all the time. So when it comes time for you to improve the way you see and the way you are seen, call on the window and door specialists at Lighthouse Windows in Santa Cruz, 426-2601. 426-2601.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Welcome back. This is The Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Krista Jones. She is the pure protein of, you know, I'm going to have that label for you. People are going to call you pure protein now, Krista. Because you are the one that's doing this, so you're the pure protein of Dave's Gourmet Seafood. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I do get hungry, and I have been on a search for the few things that I can consider to be real food. Last hour, we listened to Andy Dyer talk about the need to get real food into our bodies, not just for us, but for the 100 trillion critters that live in our microbiome. So it's absolutely imperative that we eat good food for us and for the critters that live on us. And so I really take joy in hunting and fishing for real food. And sometimes it's hard to hunt here in California, and hard to fish when it gets right down to it. But at the farmer's market, I can find real food. And if you start looking for real food with me, pretty soon there will be a lot more people making money selling us good food. So that's the principle that I would like to see. And Krista Jones is one of those people that are selling real food that we can eat and enjoy and that satisfy us and make us stronger and richer and more intelligent all the way around. So I'm appreciative of that. How do we make everybody else appreciative of that, Krista?
Oh, that's such a good point. Yeah, it's, you know, that's exactly what it's about. And who doesn't want to feel happy and feel loved? And when you have a passion for something and you put your focus on it and you put your love into it, you will end up with an incredible result. And this is what happens with like the farming or producing a product or a baked good or a canned product, like the Dave's, that's the result of all of those, that good energy. Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
So the world of cans has kind of disappeared from the grocery consciousness of foodies. Mm-hmm. And we generally don't tend to think of canned food as being foodie food, but you're proving it different because what you have there is a food that pretty much tastes like it was fresh caught, but it can be in the can for 10 years.
Yeah. It can be in the can for 10 years or more. And it's the way that it's cooked in its own natural juices, fresh packed in that, preserved in that can or jar, keeps it indefinitely. And the longer it sits, the better it will taste. In fact, in Italy, they have cellars where they'll store their canned sardines. And some of these little boutique shops will sell these really old, very old canned sardines for lots of money, hundreds of dollars. So the flavor that comes from that product is, it only gets better with age.
That's kind of amazing because it's the opposite of what you would think, that the freshest is the best, and yet not necessarily so. Do people, when they come up to you on the farmer's market, they look at the cans and go, this can't be that good because it's in a can?
Yeah, they'll their mind will compare it to like cat food. Oh, it's cat food, and, you know, because cat food comes in a can. Well, yeah, it sure does. But wait till you open it. Yeah, it's, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover for sure, but it's just educating the public to what it is and knowing the difference between this albacore salmon to the commercial packed. It's a night and day.
Well, tell us what the difference is between albacore and the commercial pack of chicken of the sea or whatever they are. What are
okay,
they? Chicken of the sea, bumblebee, tuna, star kissed, and so on.
Yeah, Charlie tuna.
Charlie tuna.
Or the mermaid. So what happens with the unbled, mass-produced product that goes to these commercial plants, and a lot of them are like down in the South Pacific, Fiji or Samoa. American Samoa is where they have right. Some of these huge manufacturers, and you can smell them from miles away. They take the product and they put them into these ovens. They stack them up on these racks and they roll them into these huge ovens before they even are close to getting canned. So all that fish is baked in the oven. And all of
before,
the oil that's
before
baked,
anything else, the first thing they do is bake it.
Yeah, they bake it. They bake the fish in the rounds. And the oils that come out of the fish, those are separated and sold to pharmaceuticals as, you know, the omega capsules and whatnot. So there's a lot of omega-3 oil in albacore, more than you realize. It's one of the best fish that you can eat for omega-3. So that oil is separated and then used elsewhere. The leftover carcass with the meat on it is then taken out after it's baked. It's taken and put on these rails of it's like a moving rail where the fish is moving along, and then they have people standing along where they're separating the meat from the bones and the skin. And then after that, the meat is then washed with like a bleach water spray, and from there, it's put into a can, and then the liquid is added, either hydrogenated oil liquid or water with salt. And usually there's other additives, flavorings in with those liquids. And then the can is sealed, and then the can is cooked. So the product's cooked prior to canning, and then it's cooked a second time. So it's a two-cook process. Whereas ours, Dave's, is just hand filleted into nice, beautiful medallion fillets, hand packed into each can. Then the can is sealed, and then it's cooked once. So it's cooked in its own natural juices. And that's the biggest difference in the processing part of it. You're getting 100% of the nutrients from the fish.
So and that's a big difference incredible. Right there.
Yeah, it is.
And the other thing that I find fascinating is that it's line caught and not net caught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. Net fishing is, fast catch. It's volume. The fish are not taken care of like they are with this troll catching, the way the method that we use for catching the albacore and salmon. Which is sustainable. There's no bycatch at all. And the fish are not stressed. In those nets, there's bycatch and the fish are stressed and they're not processed right away. So they die in the nets. Sometimes they die and then they're not bled. It's not a premium product by the time it's taken to the store for sale. Big difference.
Well, Krista, Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, cheap food isn't. Now, something tells me you're not selling cheap food.
Nope, it's not cheap. Yeah, it's priceless, I'll just say.
So there you go. So when people come up to you and say, well, I can get Charlie's tuna for less money at the supermarket, you say, no, you are going to spend more money for Charlie's tuna because cheap food isn't.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's not the same product at all. And, you know, it's, you get what you pay for. It's like, yeah, do you want a strawberry that tastes like strawberry that's incredible and organic? Or do you want a strawberry that tastes like nothing? You know, maybe it looks like a strawberry.
Like pesticide, yeah. So,
yeah.
So, but that's a sales job. And mm-hmm. you do the selling by hand, like you do the fishing by hand. Do you not? You're there selling your canned tuna to people who come to the farmer's market.
And, absolutely, yeah.
And you're making missionaries out of your customers, are you not?
Yeah, we are. We've got customers that have ordered since day one, and their lives, they've become our friends and have supported this business for so many years. And we know each and every one of them, you know, talk to them and got to know them as over the years. And that's really important to us. So
food.
So
food.
Grateful.
It's like food with its farmer's face on it. And that face would be yours. Now, do you have mail order? Can people reach you if they're in Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, on the website, the website is davesgourmetseafood.com. We also have you can call us at our phone number. I can give you the phone number if you like.
Go ahead.
And that is, phone number is 206-999-5517. That's our direct office number. And we have our warehouse located in Watsonville, Santa Cruz County. We're located in Watsonville, California, at 159 West Ridge Drive in Watsonville.
But probably the best way that we've all learned in recent years, is davesgourmetseafood.com. And if
Correct.
You go there, you'll find seafood and you'll find Krista. And there you go. So what a good deal.
Yes. And then also the farmers markets, the two farmers markets that we've done for close to 20 years now, is the Monterey Bay Certified Farmers Market Association markets. And the one that we attend is in Monterey on Friday at the Del Monte Shopping Center from 8 to noon. And on Saturday at the Cabrillo College in Aptos from 8 to noon.
And with that, we're out of time. Krista Jones, davesgourmetseafood.com. Thank you, Krista, and thank you for the taste of salmon.
Thank you so much, Michael. It's such an honor to be here today. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you all.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.